I asked Brother Troster, I said, tell me about what God's doing here. Tell me about the gospel and how it's working. He said, I'll tell you about a 15-year-old young man. He was 15. His name's Helio. It didn't surprise me. He was 15, being such a young population. But Helio had a God-sized hole in his heart. He was searching. He practiced something called animism, spirit worship. Worshiped his ancestors and those that have gone before. And he was just confused. He said, this can't be right. There's something got to be off about this. And mixed in with Catholicism, he was just really confused. But he stumbled across a little Baptist church there that God had used Brother Troster to start. Similar to this one. And he came in and he sat down and heard the gospel preached. He heard it week after week after week. And eventually, Helio got saved. He got gloriously saved. Born again, he believed and put his faith in Christ alone. And he said, I want to know more about this God that's now in my heart. I want to know more about this Jesus. Can you teach me? The missionary kindly said, yeah, that's kind of what I'm here to do. And so for 5 years, they studied the Bible together. And for 5 years, they studied the Bible. And sure enough, just like God, he called him to preach when he was 20 years old. And when he was 21, he met the love of his life. And I want you to pray for Helio. He and his wife, they're expecting a little girl. They're going 45 minutes outside of the city. They're going to start another church. It's an amazing thing what God's doing there. And I want to encourage you. I want to tell you that story just because it's the same message here in Sebring, the gospel. Death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus that works here is the same message that works over there, miles upon miles. Same message, the same gospel you believed, same gospel I hope you believe and trusted in. That's the same message that works over there. It's the power of God unto salvation, as the Bible says. And we were just sitting there, and Brother Troster said, I want to show you something. He pulls out a little projector, and he puts it on his kitchen table. We're sitting back and just kind of enjoying the time there with him and asking more stories. But he said, I want to show you something. He puts up on his kitchen wall. I was kind of confused, but it was Google Maps is what it was. It was an outline of Google Maps. It was a little projector. And I said, what's this? And he said, this is 3 million people you're looking at, and this is the city that my wife and I have been serving in for years. And he said, this pocket here, he said, Anguani, he said, we've got 150,000 people, this pocket. He said, we just don't know of a gospel-preaching church in this area. He said, this pocket here, they've got 200,000. He said, we don't know of a gospel-preaching church in this area. He told me there, he could go, went and show me different pockets. And he said, I tell you that, Noah, because you could take a dart right now. You could throw it against my kitchen wall. He said, you could start a church. And he said, there wouldn't be churches miles upon miles of where you're at. He said, if I had another lifetime, I'd spend it right here in Mozambique. I'd give another life for it. But he said, no, I'm 70 years old. And we don't know really what the next season looks like, but we know God's leading us to a season of retirement in some sort. Our mission board wants us to come off the field because of our age. And so this time next year, he said, I hope to be celebrating Christmas, you know, with my grandkids. He said, back in Illinois, I've got some grandkids I haven't seen in a while. And he said, you know, God's moving us there. But he's got a little bit discouraged. Remember the Apostle Paul when he came to the end of a ministry there in 2 Timothy? A little bit of a different spirit, a little bit of a more heavy charge. He was looking around and he picked up like a little Sharpie pen off the table. He picked it up and he grabbed that Sharpie pen. He said, you know, I fought the good fight of faith. Done what God called me to do here. I've ran my race, Noah. He said, you know, my time's up, in this country at least. He said, we're passing off the baton. Would you pick it up? Would you bring the gospel to the country of Mozambique? I kind of took that little Sharpie pen from him, you know, didn't think much about it, but the God of heaven started working in my heart, started working in my wife's heart. And we started praying and seeking the Lord and saying, God, what do you want us to do? Where do you want us to go? We're willing to go anywhere. Take us to Florida or Nebraska, anywhere, not California, but anywhere else. Take us anywhere. We'll take the gospel anywhere. But we knew one thing. I looked in the eyes, I saw the people, I knew one thing. These 30 million, they lacked something that I had. Since I was 5 years old, I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior. I trusted in Him alone. And I knew, when I laid my head on the pillow at night, I know I have a home in heaven. I'm thankful for that. I hope you do too. But I knew that they didn't. I knew the gospel, they didn't know it. And I knew that we'd do something about it. And so we were excited. We were excited to take the gospel to the country of Mozambique. And we're going on the promises of God. Not really going off of ourselves or what we can muster up. Without God, we can't do anything. It's the Lord. We're not the answer. My wife and I, we're not the answer. We're just average little people. We can't do much, but we have a message that is the answer. It's the gospel. And God wants to do a great work. We're going on the promises. Remember when Jesus said, hey, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. That's a promise of God. We go on the promises of God saying, Lord, you said it, and now it's time for you to do it. Here we go. Let's go see what you can do. I've seen you do it here. I've seen you save my friends in high school. I've seen God do miraculous things in America. Lord, if you can do it here, you can do it there. And they're just in such dire need of the gospel. And so we're praying that God would raise up laborers for that place and that God would raise up prayer warriors. Really, we're traveling the country right now in deputation, looking for partners, but more specifically, prayer partners. We need people to pray on our behalf, going before the Lord. And I want to get a prayer card in your hand just saying, hey, would you pray for us? Would you pray as when we go and step into Satan's field right now. He owns it. He's got a stronghold on it. He's got them in darkness for years and centuries upon centuries. And we're going in there with the light of the gospel, the light. to turn them from darkness to light. That's on our prayer card. Just asking the Lord to do the impossible. Asking God to save souls. But we need people praying, saying, God, hey, whenever they do give the gospel, can it fall on soil that's soft whenever the gospel is presented, that it won't be hard on their heart and that they'll receive it with openness and for protection and whatever the case may be, our God knows. And we need prayer warriors. I think that's the key to world evangelism. Remember there in Luke chapter number 10, Jesus emphasized that a lot, didn't he? He said, hey, lift up your eyes. Look into the harvest. The field are wide unto harvest. But then he said something, our Savior said something very important. He said, pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he send forth laborers into the harvest. And our Savior emphasized prayer above anything else when it comes to world evangelism. And we need prayer warriors seeking God. And we got 30 million. I go to bed at night with 30 million on my heart and on my shoulders and saying, God, we got to do something about these people. And I'm thankful for my home state, Tennessee. I'm thankful that we have other pastors, you know, that can bear the burden of those 6 million, 6 million people in my home state. And I was just wondering, I said, how many people can I get to bear the burden for 30 million with me? Hey, I'll take 2 million and I'll pray for 5 and I'll pray for 10. And my wife and I are begging God to do a work, begging God to do a work. We're not the answer. We can't do it, but our God can. He with him, hey, nothing shall be impossible. And we're just going and saying, God, it's the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, hey, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, amen? And that's us. And so I'm thankful and excited about what God's going to do there in the country of Mozambique. And maybe we'll have a little bit of time for questions afterwards if you want to ask. Do y'all do that normally or no? I don't know if you guys do it or not. If y'all ask questions, if you want to afterwards, we can do that. But well, let's go ahead and dive into the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3, if you have your Bibles with you. Exodus chapter number 3. If you have the Word of God, I hope you have a copy of God's Word with you. If you don't, maybe look on with somebody, or it might be up top here with the projector. I don't know. But Exodus chapter number 3. Thank you again, Pastor Goodwin, for the opportunity to preach behind your pulpit. I appreciate your pastor and excited for him to get back and hopefully get healthy as soon as possible and come back and if you're visiting today, hear Pastor Goodwin preach. And I'm excited about what God's doing in this church. Exodus chapter number 3. I love watching God work. I love watching God save souls. I love watching God do a great work. And here in Exodus chapter 3, the God of heaven had a great desire. He had a wonderful desire. You know the story pretty well if you've been in church any number of days. You know this is the story of the Exodus of the children of Israel, the delivering of the children of Israel from the oppression of a people, the Egyptians, and really the oppression of a man, a Pharaoh. And it's an interesting thing to watch. The God of heaven loved his people and said, I don't want them in oppression. I don't want them to be serving this nation of Egypt, the world, and I want to free them. And it's an amazing story. I love reading the story of Exodus. I hope you do too. It's a neat thing to read. But here in Exodus chapter 3, God, he has a desire. He's got a plan. But listen to this, church. There's something I can't get past, but I have to submit to it. I have to humble myself and just believe it and trust God. But here's what God does. When he wants to do something, when God wants to do a work, he always uses people. He always uses people. It's something that runs all throughout the Bible. When God wants to do a work, he uses people. And dear friend, he wants to use you. And he wants to use me. And he wants to use us. He wants to use us today. And when God wants to do a work, he uses people. He could have the rocks crowd if he wanted to. He could have the dogs bark. He could have the grass sing forth his praises. But dear friend, he wants to use you. He wants to use people. He always does. And here in Exodus chapter 3, it's amazing to watch. God wants to use somebody. You and I know who that person is, right? It's Moses, of course. God wants to use Moses to accomplish his will. And it's an amazing thing to read. I want you to look in chapter number 3. Look at verse number 1. Chapter number 3, look at verse number 1. We'll read down to about verse number 10, okay? Verse number 1, if you're there, follow along. The Bible says this in chapter 3 of Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came unto the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Look at verse number 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. I want to read that again, verse number 7. Notice how many times God mentions himself. It's an amazing thing, how many personal pronouns he uses. Look, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Look at verse number 8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up into a land, unto a good land and a large, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and Hittites and Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Look at verse number 9. Now therefore, behold, the cry of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the affliction wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for this day. Thank you for this Sunday morning to gather together and worship you. Lord, thank you, Father, for this church and, Lord, what they mean for the gospel, Lord, of standing as a lighthouse in their community, reaching, Lord, not only here, but to the uttermost parts of the earth. And God, we pray you continue to bless, that your hand would be upon this place, Lord, here at Independent Baptist Church, and you be with the leadership, and Lord, may they continue on for the gospel, excited about the days ahead. But Lord, I pray now in these moments that you just calm our hearts, and Lord, would you open our hearts, Lord, to what you have for us this morning. Lord, I mentioned it earlier in Sunday school, God, you can speak to hearts, and I understand that. God, I can only speak to ears. So God, I pray you speak to hearts this morning, Holy Spirit, through your word. Do it through your word. We submit ourselves under your authority. We love you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to gather and worship together. Lord, thank you for what you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning in Sunday school, I kind of left off with ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're servants that are approved. In Sunday school this morning, that's kind of where we left. And we're going to see here this morning kind of an ambassador in action a little bit. Moses was an ambassador of God, but before he ever became an ambassador, the God of heaven was working in the background, working the backstory. I love watching God work. Isn't it amazing to watch God move and to watch God do great things? A couple weeks ago, I met with a guy I met in Knoxville. He's 28. His name's Jeff, and he was lost as a chicken with his head cut off. Didn't know where he was going. He was so confused, trusting in his works. And we got together, started texting back and forth. And I said, hey, you want to meet me for coffee one day? I was up in Knoxville driving through on the way up to a meeting to Lexington. And he said, sure. So we met up at a Panera Bread, and we walked through the gospel there at Panera. And people around us thought we were crazy, but Jeff got gloriously saved that day. And he didn't care about what people thought about it. He got saved. And it was an amazing thing to watch God save a 28-year-old. And he's got his future ahead of him, and he's excited. And God saves souls. And we understand that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And he's in the soul-saving business. He always has been. He always will be. And he is today here. He wants to do it in Sebring, Florida. He wants to do it in Central Florida, in the state of Florida. He wants to do it all around this great nation that we have, America. He also wants to do it to other nations, the ones that have turned their backs on him and the ones that have rejected him. He loves them still, and our God wants to see souls saved. But here in Exodus chapter 3, we find Moses and watching God's sovereign hand providentially guiding this young boy's life is really amazing to see. And you know the story, but I'll quickly give you a history about it. It's a great thing. Remember when Pharaoh, he kind of got insecure. He started seeing the children of Israel rise up in great number. He got worried about his dynasty and who he was. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to wipe out every boy under the age of 2. It's great. It's unbelievable. Wicked decree that he made. My boy, that's 3 months, would be on the chopping block. Kind of brings it back personal to home. And he said, every boy under 2 years old is going to be killed. So sure enough, there was a great slaughter of young men back in the Egyptian history. You can read it historically. You can read the Word of God. It's an amazing thing. But God decided to do something with a godly mother, a mother who feared God. Her name was Jochebed. Remember Jochebed? She was a great mother. And she said, you know what? I know that man has made this decree, but I would rather serve God than I would man. So she decided, I'm not going to do this wicked task of killing my baby. I'm going to preserve him as long as I can. Sure enough, she protected Moses, and this godly mother decided to trust in God. Probably the death sentence was awaiting her if they were to find out. Who knows? But she trusted God. She believed God. And God saw her faith and decided to do a great work. God always loves faith, doesn't he? Remember Hebrews 11? Hey, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jochebed was diligently seeking God, and she decided to preserve his life. And sure enough, when it was too great a task for her, she had to give it to God. She had to put it in his hands. So she made a basket, put him down the Nile River, and said, Lord, I've done my part. Now you do yours. And sure enough, the mighty hand of God was providential over that little baby as he was traveling down the river. And sure enough, hey, you can't write this. Man can't make this up. He shows up in the house of Pharaoh. He gets picked up by the house of Pharaoh. And this lady is looking around. She said, hey, I can't nurse. And so who can nurse this baby? And here comes Miriam out of the bulrushes. Says, hey, I know somebody. I know somebody that can nurse the baby. And she said, well, who is it? And so sure enough, Miriam was used of God to kind of connect the dots. And Moses then was able to be nursed and grown up by his mother, Jochebed. It's an amazing story. It's amazing to watch God work and move. And you can read the story for yourself. If we had time, we would go back and look at it. But it's a great thing. And sure enough, Jochebed, probably as a godly mother that she was, she probably instilled into Moses some principles, some life principles. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for a godly mother. A godly mother that loved me enough to teach me the Bible. And Jochebed probably said, hey, Moses, come here, boy. You know you're going to be hearing about all these other gods. They had hundreds and hundreds of gods. Hey, don't listen. Don't listen to them. Yours is the God of Abraham. Hey, yours is the God of Isaac. Yours is the God of Jacob. Yours is the God who made some promises to us back there. And yours is the one and only true God. And when they start telling you about all these other gods, hey, don't listen. Yours is the only true God. Hey, Moses, you're different. Hey, Moses, those people aren't your people. We're your people. And something about Moses, and you're watching his life there in chapter 2 of Exodus, and you're kind of watching, and he knew that something was different about him, didn't he? He knew, I don't know if it was maybe the accent, or maybe the color of his skin, or maybe because Jochebed just instilled that well into her young boy, but he knew that he was different. And the God of heaven was burdening Moses' heart for something. Remember when God does that for you and I? He burdens your heart for maybe a person. He burdens your heart for maybe a ministry. Maybe it's a Sunday school or choir or visitation, or he burdens your heart for a loved one who's lost, or maybe a coworker. Hey, that's the God of heaven. Be sensitive to that. Be sensitive when the God of heaven works in your heart and works in your life. And Moses, he understood that the God of heaven wanted to do a great work. And God started instilling into Moses some desires. Hey, I want to free my people. Hey, this burden that they're having, it's not what they should have. I want to show them a great land. But Moses kind of jumps the gun. Moses kind of gets ahead of God. He kind of gets ahead of the will of God. You've been there before. I know I have. Jumping the gun, thinking we could do it in our own strength and our own power. Look back with me one page back there in chapter 2. Look in chapter number 2. Moses understood that he was different. He knew that he was different and that God wanted to do something. He knew that the Egyptians really weren't his people and that God wanted to do something with his people. And look at verse number 11 of chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. So he's grown up now. That he went out unto his brethren. He understood he was different. And he looked upon their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. Look at verse number 12. And he looked this way, and he looked that way. And when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Wow. That can't be the will of God. God didn't want Moses to murder this man. He got ahead of God's will. He got ahead of God's timing. He tried to do it in his own strength. He got lifted up in pride, saying, yeah, I'm the man. I'm the prince of Egypt. I can do what I want to do. He kills this Egyptian. And he finds himself a murderer. He's got blood on his hands. And now the Pharaoh is ready to kill him. Life for life, tooth for tooth, buddy. So he's got to get out of Dodge. He takes off to the desert. He runs. He gets out of there. He goes from being a prince of Egypt, and the sovereign hand of God gets him to the house of Jethro, his father-in-law, where he meets his wife. And sure enough, he goes from being a prince to a shepherd. The best of the best to one of the worst of the worst. If you're a shepherd, I'm not trying to offend you, but back in those days, a shepherd was as the bottom as you can go. It's the bottom of the totem pole. To the Egyptians, it was a humiliation. To the Egyptians, it was something you didn't want to be. Remember whenever Joseph was trying to have Pharaoh, he said, you know, my brethren are shepherds, so they'll dwell in the land of Goshen. We just give them the land of Goshen. So you understand that it was an abomination, but he went from being the top of the top to the least of the least. The God of heaven was humbling him, wasn't he? The God of heaven was putting him on his face. And maybe there's times in your life or my life when I know I've been there, when God has to remind us, hey, what do you think you're doing, buddy? Who do you think this is really about? You think it's you? You think it's you? And you're a little sinful? No. It's all about me. And for 40 years, I hope it doesn't take that long for you or I, but for 40 years, God humbles Moses and gets him down to as low as he could possibly be. But then, like the passage we read in there in chapter 3, God didn't forget his desire. God didn't forget that burden he put in his heart. God had it all brewing. He had it understanding. So he comes back to his man. He comes back to a person. He gives him another shot, another chance, saying, hey, this time, do it my way. Hey, this time, follow me. This time, do what I say. And sure enough, we see the dialogue you saw there with God and Moses. And it's an amazing thing. God comes before Moses, and he presents a desire to him. It's a desire. Hey, Moses, listen. Remember that desire I put in your heart back in chapter 2? Well, here I am in the form of a burning bush, and I'm telling you, I want to do it again. I want to do it. I've always wanted to do it, and I want to do it again with you, dear friend. I want to do it. And God comes before Moses and says, here's your second chance. You ready to go? You ready to play? And sure enough, it's time. It's time. God comes before Moses, and presents to Moses his heart's desire. And dear friend, I have to have us understand that God is the same. The same God of Exodus is the same God here in 2021. Remember what Hebrews 13:8 tells us? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. God says, I'm God, I change not. It's the same God. And yes, he had a desire there in Exodus, and it's the same God. But today, here, remember, he's timeless. He's not affected by time. He goes beyond time, and the God of heaven still sits in the heavens right in this very moment, and he's telling us, hey, listen, I still have a desire. If he didn't, if he was done with this church and he was done with you, why would we still be here? Your breath would be gone, and this church, why are we still kicking? Because God has a plan. If he was done, you'd be taken on to glory. He's got a plan for your life, dear Christian. He's got a plan for this church, and he still has a great desire. The desire is to do the same thing, to deliver people. Here it was the children of Israel in this context, but today in 2021, God's desire is still to deliver people here in Sebring and here in Florida. And God wants to see souls saved and lives changed here in this area. God wants to see souls saved and lives changed in Mozambique and all throughout Africa. God wants to see souls saved in South America and Central America and Asia. He wants to see souls saved, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Why did he leave glory, and why did he leave his throne high and lifted up, being glorified by angels? And why did he leave perfection for you and I? Because he came to save you. He came to save you. He came to save me. And he came to save the world. That's why he did it. He has the same desire. One reason. He didn't come to make friends. He didn't come just to heal a few sick and allow the blind to see. He didn't come just to make money. No, he came to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. And then at the end of his life, he said, I'm giving you one task. Go ye therefore into all the world. And here's the sum of my ministry. Preach the gospel to all nations, every people, every tribe, every tongue, every nation. That's why I'm excited about this church and their heart and their vision to reach the world with the gospel. It's all around your church. Your pastor has a vision to reach the world, because we understand we've been given a task by our Savior to seek and to save that which was lost. And here, God comes before Moses in 7 through 9, the verses that we read, and he presents his desire. We find God's desire. God's desire. Here in Exodus, we understand it was to deliver his people. But here in 2021, today, God still has a desire. We understand that. God still has a great desire to see souls saved. To see souls saved. He had to come before Moses there in 7, and I noticed how many times God said, me and mine, I. He's reminding Moses, hey, listen, I know you have a desire in your heart, but please don't forget, I loved them first. I'm the one who gave you that desire, Moses. Hey, I'm the one who knows how many hairs are on their head. I'm the one who gave them the color skin they've got. I'm the one who knows what color eyes they've got. Hey, Moses, I know you have that desire, but don't you dare forget, I'm the one who loves them first, and I love them more than you do. And dear friend, you and I must be reminded that today we might have desires for people to be saved, and our loved ones or coworkers or family or friends, whatever the case may be, but don't you forget, God loved them first. He's the one who gave his only begotten son for them. He's the one who formed them in their mother's womb. He loves them more than you do. And he's saying, now Moses, come before me and do it my way this time. Don't do it your way. So oftentimes, and I mentioned this a little bit in Sunday school, but we as a church in 2021, we can try to do it our way. We can try to muster up our way. Let's be like the world, to reach the world, and let's have philosophy, and let's try to do all these different things to attract people. God says, hey, listen, I've given you a way to do it. It's the gospel. It's the Bible. Let's stick to the book. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it his way. What are we getting away from God's way? And so he's come before Moses saying, Moses, they're my people, and it's my desire all along. And just to be honest and to be blunt, I would be such a fool to charge into the country of Mozambique and saying, hey, listen here, everybody sit down and be quiet. I've got the message here. Everybody listen to me, thinking it's all me. Oh, I'd be such a fool. I'd be on my face faster than Moses was. I'd be humbled as quick as anybody else was. And these men who have been in ministry a long time, and they can attest to that. It's not us. It's not man's vain philosophy and man's vain understanding of himself. Our pride is all God. It's all him. And God comes before Moses and he presents his desire. He presents his desire to him and says, Moses, this time, do it my way. Because remember back in Psalms 24, I think it is, the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. He hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. It's all God's. The earth is God's. The earth is the Lord's. These people are the Lord's. Sebring, Florida is the Lord's. This church is the Lord's. Your family is the Lord's. It's all the Lord's. He said, in that one verse, he said, it's all mine. It's all mine. So why don't we do it his way? Amen? We should do it God's way. Do it God's way. We have to understand that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. God wants the world reached with the gospel. And he comes before Moses and he said, Moses, this time it's me. I'm the one that placed that desire in you back in Exodus chapter 2. It was me all along. I'm the one who gave you desire to see your people come free. I'm the one who gave you desire to see them out of bondage. I'm the one who gave you the desire to see them out of oppression. It's me. And it's the same applies for you and I, dear Christian. Remember Philippians written to you and I there in chapter number 2, verse 13, that says, for it is God which worketh in you. It's God which worketh in you. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, not ours, his good pleasure. It's all about him. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. Hey, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. We're his. We're his. It was his desire back in Exodus 3, and today it's his desire now. The desire you have for your loved one, or the desire you have for righteousness, or the desire you had to live holy, is all his desire anyway. So let's do it God's way. Amen? Let's do it his way. So Moses here, he understands one thing. By this time, he understands that if this thing is going to get done, it's going to get done God's way, not my way. He understands this thing. There's an argument going back and forth. There's a dialogue. Moses says, hey, I can't even talk. And God said, hey, who made your mouth? Hey, what's in your hand? Throw it on the ground. Hey, I'm the God of heaven. I'm the one who made you. For with me, nothing's impossible. Throw it on the ground and I'll make it a serpent. Pick it back up. I'll make it a rod. Hey, you get discouraged. Put your hand in your shirt and pull it out. It'll be leprous. Put it back in. It'll be as white as snow. God says, hey, it's all about me. The marvels that I'm going to do. So Moses then, this is amazing, church. Watch this. God presents his desire. It's God's desire. But then watch. What? Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10, we read it. But look down again. This is amazing. Look at verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. God's desire, then we've got man's decision. Man's decision? It's an amazing thing. He comes before Moses, says, Moses, here's my desire. Do you want to get involved? Hey, here's my desire. You want to have the privilege to work with the God of heaven? Hey, here's my desire. Now you have a decision. He's given us free will. Aren't you thankful you're not a robot walking around doing exactly what the God, the one who made you to do, and you're just programmed to do something? No, he gave you free will. You can decide to live righteous. You can decide to live sinful. You can decide to accept Christ. You can decide to reject. You can decide if you want heaven to be your home. You can decide if you want hell to be your home. You got a choice in life. And here, Moses has a choice to say, hey, am I going to work with God, or am I going to just keep being a shepherd? Am I going to watch and work with God, or am I going to just sit back here and keep being a has-been? What am I going to do? It's an amazing thing. God presents that desire to you, dear friend. He presents that desire to us today. In 2021, he says, listen, I have a desire. I've got a great desire. It's to reach the world with the gospel. I've sent my only begotten son. He lived 33 years of perfection, just so the Indians would know, and just so the Mozambicans would know, and just so the Puerto Ricans would know, and just so the Floridians would know, and just so the Americans would know, and just so the Chinese would know that I love them, and I still have a great desire. Now, church, we've got an opportunity to get involved. We've got an opportunity. Now, we can sit on the sidelines and watch God do a work, or we can get involved. I don't know about you playing sports and high school and stuff. I hated sitting on the bench. It was the worst thing ever. It was awful, man. That guy's shooting the three-pointer. I'm like, hey, put me in, coach. I want to shoot a three-pointer. That guy scored a touchdown. I'm like, I want to run a touchdown. I want to hold a block. I want to make a tackle. I want to light him up and knock his helmet off. That'd be awesome. Put me in. I want to be in the game. And so many Christians, oftentimes, we sit on the sidelines. God's going to do it with or without us. You understand? He's going to do it. He was going to do it with or without Moses. He didn't need Moses, but he gave him an opportunity to get involved. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need me. But I know that he's going to get the gospel to Mozambique with or without me. So I'm going to say, hey, let me get on that train. Put me in. I want to watch you work. I know God's going to save people in Sebring with or without you. But you can say, hey, I want to get involved. I want to watch God do a work. I want to watch God get involved. I want to see God do a work in this church. And I want to see God grow this church and see souls saved and see this community reach with the gospel. And I want to see souls saved in China. So I'm going to get involved in faith missions. And I want to see souls saved in Africa. So I'm going to get involved in faith promise. And pastor, what can I do? And hey, what ministry can I get involved in? And can I sing, or can I teach, or hey, can I go visit? Or I don't know what it is. The Holy Spirit's got a specific job for you to do. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You've got an own walk with God. But the Lord has a job for us to do, and he's given us a decision to get involved. He says, come here, Moses. Here's my great desire. Here's the great master plan. You want to get involved? You want to have a privilege? I think about when I was a little boy. Remember when I was a little boy, I was 5 or 6, I'd be watching cartoons or something, and Dad would come in and holler, hey, Noah, can you come help me with the car? Oh, yeah, this is awesome. Dad wants my help. Oh, this is awesome. I'd leave the cartoons all day to go help Dad. I'll go do anything with Daddy. This is awesome. And you know what? He could have taken a lantern, you know, and put it on the hood or fixed the car himself or changed the oil, but he wanted me to hold a flashlight. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. Man, I have really reached a pinnacle in life. I get to hold the flashlight for Dad. Man, I get to give him the wrench. This is awesome. So I'd sit there and I'd grab that little flashlight and I'd say, you know what nut you need? Oh, right there, Dad. Is that good? Hey, Dad, how about that? Is that good, Dad? He's like, yeah, that's good, son. Hold still. And he'd do it. And man, my shoulders would be back. Man, I'd be excited to work with Dad. Remember those days? Now, when you got 11 or 12, you really started understanding, hey, Dad couldn't just use a lantern. So it kind of got really uncool really quick. Remember those? I mean, it's like, man. But I want to go back to that little 5 and 6-year-old and say, man, you know, the God of heaven, he can do this thing without us, but he wants to use us. He's given us an opportunity to get involved in his great commission in reaching the world. And I want to have that little 5 and 6-year-old mentality. I just want to work with Daddy. I just want to work with Dad. I just want to work with God. I just want to work with the King of heaven. I want to work with the God of heaven. I want to get involved. Hey, God, you want me to hold a flashlight? Hey, what size wrench do you want? Hey, do you want me to grab a pan? Hey, you want a rag to wipe your face? Whatever you need. God, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm just a servant. I'm here. Would you use me? Would you use me, Lord? You know what God wants? He wants servants. He wants people. You know why? Remember 2 Chronicles 16:9? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. He wants to do a work. His eyes are running the aisles right now. His eyes are looking for people, young men, saying, God, here's my life. Use me. Older people, hey, God, here's my life. Use me. I might only have 30 years or I might only have 50 years, but use what I got left for your honor. Use what I got left for your glory. Here I am, God. Don't pass me by. Do not pass me by. I love that little hymn, don't you? Do not pass me by. I know it's talking about salvation, but man, I've already been saved. I want to get involved in the work. This is awesome. Moses had to understand he had a decision to make. He had an opportunity to be an ambassador for the God of heaven. We just talked about being ambassadors in Sunday school. He had an opportunity to be a representative of the God of heaven. And sure enough, you know the story. I know the story. It's kind of weird. It's kind of quirky. Frogs? What's up with frogs? Lice? Locusts? An entire river turning into blood? That's odd. You know why it's odd? It's because it's God's way, not our way. It's him that did it, not us. Hey, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are God's way higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So we watch the story of Exodus and you're like, man, this story right here can only be one person. The God of heaven. Now, I mean, Moses, it wasn't a staff that smacked the water and turned it into blood. It wasn't the staff that brought forth all the frogs out of the water. It wasn't little Moses who said something. No, no, no. It was the God behind the staff. It was the God that had the rod. It was the God who was working and moving. And it's an amazing thing to watch God work. But God wants to use you. He wants to use this church and this community and this place for such a time as this. Our God wants to do a work, and he's given us a decision to make. Moses understood, hey, this time, I got to trust in God. This time, I got to do it God's way. Remember Psalms 20, verse 7? Some trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I know who's going to get the victory here. I know who's going to win. Thirdly and lastly, we have God's desires presented before man. Then we have man's decision. And then thirdly and lastly, I want you to see it. Look at God's deliverance. God's deliverance. This is amazing. Rest assured, dear friend. Look at verse number 19, chapter 3, verse 19. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. Look at verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And look at this. And after that, he will let you go. You know who did it? You know who won? God did. You can read the end of the story. God won. God's the one who brought him forth with the mighty hand. Because it's God that delivers. It's God that delivers, not you and I. It's God. It wasn't Moses. It was God. It wasn't Aaron. It was God. It wasn't Miriam. It was God. God delivered. He's the one who did it. He's the one that delivered in Exodus. And listen, dear friend, he's the one that will deliver today. The same God, the God of heaven. Remember, hey, remember in Acts chapter 4, verse number 12? For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One name, one person, God, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, it's him. Hey, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. One person, one name. Hey, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not because of our works, or not because of what we can muster up, or baptism, or church membership, or tithes and offerings. No, one name, one person, Jesus Christ. One person, one God. Same back then, same today. There's one salvation, one person, Jesus. And he wants to deliver Sebring, people of Sebring. He wants to deliver the people of Florida. He wants to deliver the people of Mozambique. And that's our message. We're going saying, hey, there's one person who delivers. It's the God of heaven. It's the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the message we stand firm on today. The gospel. Him alone. Jesus Christ alone. God delivered. God's the one who did it. When we see victory, it's always God. When we see a win, it's always the Lord. Because we're on the winning side. Aren't you thankful? What a God. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for what you want to do. Thank you for presenting your desire to us, Lord, there in the New Testament. Lord, you have desire for us to go forth to all nations and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've given us a job to do, the Great Commission. Lord, salvation is still by one name, through one man, Jesus Christ. And we love you. We stand firm on that message of the gospel. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here today that's lost, they don't know if heaven's their home, that, Lord, they would repent of their sins, they turn to Jesus. Lord, you are mighty to save. Your hand is not slack. Your ear is not heavy. Lord, you can save. And Father, I pray today that you'd save somebody. If they need to be saved, Lord. If they've never believed on that one name, Jesus Christ. Lord, and I pray you'd encourage your saints here. Encourage this church to continue on with world evangelism. Beginning here in their Jerusalem, in their Judea. Lord, into the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Brother Spangler.